As Jimmy Jenkins just reported, the U.S. Senate race is now set in Arizona with a pair of female members of Congress officially nominated to succeed Senator Jeff Flake. In addition to that competition, there were a lot of very interesting results from last night's primary, including some surprises and statewide incumbents losing to challengers. We'll be touching on some of those this hour and next hour as well. Right now, for a deeper dive into a few races, return to former legislative leader Chad Campbell of Strategies 360 and Emily Ryan of Copper State Consulting. Welcome to you both. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Chad, let's start with the U.S. Senate. Kyrsten Sinema was already hit with that ad about how she was protesting in a tutu while Martha McSally was flying missions. At this point, based on what Martha McSally had to say last night, does Sinema need a counterpunch right away?
No, I don't think so. I think that Kyrsten needs to stay the course. And when I say stay the course, she's been campaigning for the general election now for about 4 to 6 weeks already. She's in very good shape, I think. And you know, quite honestly, she's been attacked with some of these attacks before when she's been running for Congress at the state legislature. Kyrsten's in a very good position. She's very strong still. And I think that she's still going to win this race at the end of the day.
Now, Emily, this is expected, but did Republicans breathe a sigh of relief that neither Kelly Ward nor Joe Arpaio was able to overcome Martha McSally?
I know I did. It was a big collective sigh of relief. I think Martha McSally is our best shot going after Kyrsten Sinema. I agree with Chad. She's a relentless campaigner. She knows what she's doing, and you won't see a misstep out of her campaign like you might with others.
Yeah.
So we've been hearing for so long now that this is going to be an expensive race, a very nasty race. Did either of you see anything last night that would lead you to believe otherwise?
Wouldn't lead me to believe otherwise. I know Martha McSally is already making comments that Kyrsten has bragged she has 100 pair of shoes and Martha McSally's flown over 100 combat missions. You're going to see a lot more of that and a lot of money dumping in from both sides going after each other. It's going to be an expensive race.
Well, yeah, and I think you're going to see more negativity from the McSally camp as opposed to the Sinema camp. I think you're going to see negativity from independent expenditures going after McSally. But I do think one thing that stands out to me last night is the overwhelming turnout for the Democrats. This is record numbers for us. And a lot of it wasn't due to Democrats. It's due to independents voting in Democratic primaries for the first time. This is a huge problem for the Republicans, and that's going to translate to the general election. And I'm telling you right now, the Trump effect is going to have a very big drag on Martha McSally.
Chad, how much do you think independents voting in Democratic primaries was that they really wanted to vote in a Democratic primary? And how much of it was that in the past, maybe there haven't been quite as many Democratic primaries in the state, so the action was on the GOP side?
I think this is purely an anti-Trump sentiment. I don't think this has anything to do with competitive primaries. I think you see it nationwide. Independents, for the most part, are breaking to the Democratic side, and I think that's going to continue. And I think that is a hard mathematical equation for a lot of Republicans to overcome.
And Emily McSally, of course, the comment's been made that in order to win the primary, she went to the right and really embraced President Trump, which some of that may in fact be true. And then, of course, there's pressure to move back toward the middle, which happens with a lot of candidates. Is that going to be an easy way for her to go? Will she be flexible enough in order to pull that off?
I think so. And I think the hard right Republican wing of the party has helped her with that because they've been screaming for the last few weeks that she's not far enough to the right and she's got a centrist record. So, you know, I think that will help her come back to the middle. But I agree with Chad. You know, President Trump and whatever antics and actions he takes over the next couple months are going to have a meaningful impact. You know, this lowering the flag, raising the flag at the White House, mm-hmm. nonsense as we lay to rest Senator John McCain, that's the kind of thing that is going to drive independent voters to Chad's Democrats.
What about the reaction, Emily, to the Jeff Flake comments yesterday, where Jeff Flake sort of said, well, thank goodness, Martha McSally, this is our best chance to keep this Senate seat. And she sort of rejected it, sort of gave him a slap.
Yeah, she really should. That was smart of her. Okay. And, you know, shame on Jeff Flake for not having the courage to say that prior to the election night. You know, he's now famously coming out after the fact. And I'm afraid he's in for a rude awakening as attention moves off of him and onto other people.
Any quick thoughts on that one, Jeff?
No, I mean, I agree. And I think, you know, at the end of the day, I think a lot of the base on both sides is going to come home. I'm already seeing on social media this morning some of the really liberal Democrats saying, we got to vote for Kyrsten. They're already there. So I think it's going to come back to that middle, that independent voter, and they're going to be the decision makers in this race.
You guys have kind of alluded to this, but I'm curious more broadly, especially in this race, how much of the result in November do you think will be based on the two candidates and sort of issues in Arizona? And how much of it will be based on sort of national issues, things the president does or says, or, you know, other sort of national issues?
I think Trump is the overwhelming influencer in a lot of these elections here in Arizona and nationwide, obviously. And that's not taking away anything from these candidates. You know, I think Kyrsten Sinema is probably the most qualified candidate the Democrats have had in decades for this seat. She's the hardest working candidate we've had in decades. But I do think that the Trump effect is going to have a significant impact on this race.
Yeah, and you're going to see a big difference from, I think, the color and flavor of their campaigns. You're going to see Kyrsten in happy, bright colors talking about Arizonans don't care if we're Republicans or Democrats. We're just Arizonans. And you're going to see Martha McSally draped in the American flag with a solid centrist record. I'm excited to see the money drop in. We've got to get through a couple months of inundated in commercials. But once that's over, I'm looking forward to the results.
And just watch Donald Trump's tweets. That'll give you a lot of insight probably too, right?
Emily, one statewide race we want to talk about during this hour with you and Chad is the Secretary of State. Now, I don't know that anybody at this table is surprised that incumbent Michelle Regan lost yesterday to Steve Gaynor. But boy, she got crushed.
Yeah.
And was this just the remnant of those first couple of years of these horrible lines that we saw and mix-ups Secretary of State's office that may have been, of course, to do with county recorder and county elections director as well? But, I mean, was this a stunner that, okay, maybe a 10 or 12-point loss for the incumbent, but she was doubled by Steve Gaynor?
She really was. And I think it is the trouble with the last election. You know, there was a terrible visual of people in line for hours and hours. But I think the real takeaway from this is money talks. Steve Gaynor dumped $1 million of his own money in. He wants this office so badly, one step away from being governor, that he was able to tell that story in a very meaningful way, and she just couldn't overcome it.
Chad, what about when someone running for Secretary of State lets us know that he's a lifetime NRA member, pro-Trump, pro-life? So what are we supposed to read into that? Because Secretary of State, as far as I know, doesn't handle those things.
Yeah. I mean, again, I think, you know, Emily may have been alluding to this or maybe not. I'm not sure. I think Gaynor's campaign is all about trying to get, you know, again, one step removed from the governor's office. That's why he's in this race. Nobody spends $1 million of their own money to become Secretary of State of Arizona. I just don't understand that at all. And it is shocking, though, that an incumbent lost by that much. And it's funny, I was at an event last night and talking to actually a friend of mine on the other side of the aisle, and he was asking me if there were going to be any upsets, and I mentioned a couple upsets. And he said, you know, isn't it funny you're not even mentioning the fact that Regan is going to lose tonight? I'm like, yeah, we've all resigned ourselves to that fact about a month or so ago. And that's how crazy this race was for her. I mean, we just knew she was going to lose.
Well, Chad, how do you see, and Emily as well, how do you see this sort of shaping up in the general election? Because you have somebody, Steve Gaynor, who's put a lot of money into this race, as you mentioned, who's brand new to politics. On the Democratic side, you have Katie Hobbs, who's been in state government for several years now, did not have a competitive primary last night. How do you see that shaking out, Chad?
Again, I think Katie has a really good shot at winning this race. Female candidates are having very good election years right now. And I do think that people are going to look, especially independents, look at a guy with a bit of a skeptical eye who's buying this election, basically, to try to become governor with absolutely no experience in governing. And I think we're seeing the results of people who have no experience in governing and what that ends up happening or how that ends up impacting public policy. Katie is has a track record of success. She's been a very good leader down at the Senate. So I think she has a really good shot at taking this race.
Emily, what do you think?
Oh, you know, it all depends on what message Gaynor can come up with and how much of his own money he's willing to spend. You know, Katie doesn't have a controversial record. I mean,
no.
She's not a polarizing figure. She's a very nice woman. But I don't know if nice can overcome the amount of money he might dump into this.
And I will add, I expect there to be a lot of national money coming in for Katie Hobbs in this race. I think that female candidates running for election officers' positions, there are groups out there looking to support them. So I think there's going to be outside money spent for Katie Hobbs in this race.
And Chad, finally, on this particular race, do you think Democrats would have rather run against Michelle Regan and her record or an unknown Steve Gaynor?
No, I've actually said Gaynor's the better opponent. Some people counter me on this. I think that a female versus a male in this matchup is better for Democrats. And I also think running against a person with the last name Regan in a general election is very tough. So I'm okay with this.
So we wanted to talk about a couple of congressional primaries as well from yesterday, including one, a massive district, the first congressional district held right now by Democrat Tom O'Halloran. This was a three-way race in which Wendy Rogers, who's run for a couple of other things in the past, including other congressional districts in the past. She appears to be on top right now of Steve Smith, who's in second place, Tiffany Shedd in third. Emily, what did you make of this particular race? Because especially toward the end, it got pretty nasty between Rogers and Smith.
It got very ugly. A lot of really bad allegations. Smith actually filing a lawsuit against Wendy Rogers. And you're right, Wendy has hopped to several different congressional districts trying her hand at getting, you know, a base of people to support her. She finally got there. I was surprised Tiffany Shedd did as poorly as she did, being an NRA gun instructor.
And really touting roots in that area.
Yes, yes. I was surprised that rural Arizona didn't support her more. But I think that probably it's a great day for Tom O'Halloran. You know, I don't think he's at all nervous about Wendy Rogers. I wouldn't be if I were him.
Chad, do you agree?
Yeah, I mean, I would echo that. I think in this environment with that particular opponent that Tom O'Halloran's going to be pretty safe in this district. And he's done a good job of balancing, you know, rural versus partisan interests. He's really kind of walked that line. So I think Tom has a pretty clear reelection pathway ahead of him right now.
Yeah, Steve Smith was really our Republican best hope of going at Tom O'Halloran. And with Steve Smith eliminated, I think we're going to lose that seat.
And I would also say, though, you know, the Republican primary results, because I agree, in some way, Shedd should have been the best candidate. It really speaks to the fact that trying to predict any outcome in this environment right now is next to impossible. That's all I can say about that.
That's true.
Well, I'm going to ask you to do that because we only have about a minute left in the segment.
You're going to do that too.
So, no, I'm going to ask you, just in terms of what happened last night, it doesn't have to be a surprise, but what do you think is the most potentially impactful thing to happen last night that could affect November? It could be statewide, it could be federal, it could be legislative, just one that hits you.
Well, the legislative races are actually the interesting thing to me. There's a lot of really interesting, for lack of a better word, results. A lot of incumbents lost. A lot of former elected legislators trying to come back lost. Some former elected legislators with corruption scandals around them are getting reelected. The voters were really schizophrenic last night in the legislative races, and I'm not sure what that body's going to look like next year.
Emily, wrap it up for us.
I would say that we may finally be seeing that blue wave.
Yeah.
You know, in 2016, we were barely red. Trump barely took Arizona. And that blue wave we've talked about for years and years might be headed right towards us. Last night was an indication that Democrats are out and voting.
Emily Ryan of Copper State Consulting, Chad Campbell, former legislative leader of Strategies 360. Guys, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.